You guys ready in the back to start the recording? Okay. So a few weeks ago, we began something very intentional together. The I Believe series, a 10-part series based on a biblically grounded statement of faith. Can we put that up on the screen there, Carter? There we go. One sermon for each of these 10 points. This series will probably take us most of 2026 because I will be preaching only about one per month, and maybe there's a couple months where I don't preach. So about 10 sermons in about 12 months. With this series, we're not just repeating a creed. We're not merely saying what this church believes. We're not simply repeating what our families have always believed. What we're doing in this series is personally professing what we believe. What I believe, what you believe. One belief at a time in a way we all can agree on. These sermons are written so that any one of us could stand up here and read what is said and preach them. And say honestly, this is what I believe, and it would still be true. In part one, we started at the only place that really makes sense, at the beginning. I believe in one God, the creator of heaven and earth. Because if there is one creator, God, then the next question is unavoidable. Has that God said anything, and what did he say? So that brings us to part two. I believe that the Bible is God's inspired, trustworthy, and authoritative word for truth and life. And this sermon will stand or fall right there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And our slides, pardon me if they are kind of out of order, but we're having some technical difficulties. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Inspired does not mean emotionally moving or inspiring. It means God breathed it. God inspired the Bible. God breathed it. The Bible was written by more than 40 authors over roughly 1,500 years on three different continents and in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And yet it tells one unified story. Isaiah names Cyrus nearly 150 years before Cyrus was born. In Isaiah 44, verse 28, it says, "Who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please.'" Isaiah describes the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53. Centuries before crucifixion was even practiced. That's not lucky guessing. That is God speaking before history unfolded. So I believe that God's word, the Bible, is trustworthy. Trustworthy answers this question. Can this be relied on? We trust what proves to be reliable, don't we? In the Bible, like Dan was just talking about, we read the story of Joseph this past week, if you're doing it chronologically anyway. And Joseph was trusted by Potiphar. After he was sold into slavery, he was trusted with running the affairs of Potiphar's house. It was Potiphar's wife that kind of not kind of, she lied, and then Potiphar didn't trust him anymore, but he was trusted with a lot of things until that point. Then when he was in prison, he was trusted with, it sounds like, more things than an average prisoner. He was trusted by his cellmates to give truthful answers. He was trusted then later by the Pharaoh to oversee the whole country, basically be the essentially like a vice president almost. So Joseph was trusted. Sometimes we trust babysitters. Sometimes we trust them more than others. Thankfully, our kids are getting old enough. Carter is able to watch the kids, now drive them places even. He drove Weston here this morning. That was a first. We drove two cars so that maybe we could go home before the whole activities are done this afternoon, but some can stay and ride home with Carter. You got to put a lot of trust in your kid to let him drive your other kids around. But there was a time when we were interviewing babysitters when Carter was little, and you know, some of them were good, some of them were like, ooh, no, we don't trust you. Carter's been applying for a scholarship recently for aviation private pilot's license training. There's a scholarship called the Ray Scholarship, and Dan wrote a nice letter of recommendation for him and some others. John Tuttle from the Oregon Church wrote him a nice letter and talks about how they would trust him with being responsible for most things, and what a nice thing to have written about your son, that people would trust him. The Bible has proven reliable historically. There are archaeological facts that you can verify. So we're not just saying, I believe that the Bible is real because the Bible says it's real. That would be a little bit silly. It's not good logic to argue that a book is true because the book says it's true. So we got to look at other sources, and there are archaeological facts that you can verify yourself. So I don't know that we're going to get the pictures in the right order on the screens. I've got some of them I can try to pull up. There we go. But I will make these available on the church website or on the Facebook page later on. So if you miss any of them, you can jot them down as we go, but if you miss any of them, there'll be pictures and things you can go Google search yourself. You can go to a public library and look in the card catalog and find these things to be true yourself. One is the Tell Dan Steele. It's pronounced the Tell Dan Steele. Now, we're not telling Dan Foster to go steal, but it's referring to a place that a stone tablet was found. It was discovered in 1993, not really all that long ago. I was 11 years old. And it mentions the house of David. See, there were a lot of scholars that argued until that discovery that, well, there's really no record of King David ever existing other than just tradition. Outside of the Bible or outside of religious people just saying it, there's no archaeology to back it up until 1993. They found this stone that mentions the house of David. The Misha stele from the 9th century BC refers to Israel and Israel's God. Let's see, Hezekiah's tunnel in the late 8th century BC is when the tunnel was made. It matches the story in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 20. There's something called the Siloam inscription. It was discovered in 1880, and it describes that tunnel's construction on that inscription there. So the Bible didn't change. People didn't believe there was evidence to back up what the Bible said, but the Bible said it a long time before the evidence was discovered. So the Bible didn't change, the evidence caught up. I follow on Facebook, there's an interesting content creator, I guess you'd call it. It's a puppet. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Joe, but there's a puppet on Facebook called Dinks the Puppet. Have you ever seen Dinks? No, never seen Dinks. Dinks is a puppet that is, I think, must be puppeted by a pastor. And a lot of